Okay, real estate. Starting a new packet, packet 9. Okay. So, we've been discussing two types of tarogas, min bimino, min shein amino. And min shein amino is the concept of tam ki ikar, and it's the concept of nesinas tam batal b'shisha. We assume, so you have kosher milk and non-kosher chicken soup. It falls in. They have two different tastes. So if you have shishim of the milk towards the non-kosher chicken soup, then it's okay. Because that's the din of batal b'shishim. So the question at hand is, what if you don't use shishim? Could you just take a non-Jewish person and have him taste it? Well, because what's the idea of shishim? The idea of shishim is that once the shishim, then it's batal. Because since the shishim, the amount of kosher to treif, the tam dissipates. The tam of the non-kosher dissipates in the shishim. When it gets, like in life, when you go too thin, you get nothing. You spread yourself too thin, it's not good. So the same thing of tam. Now once the tam is spread, you know, 60 parts of the kosher, to spread itself too thin, then it's tasteless. Okay? But say I don't have shishim. Say I don't have shishim. But I get a goy to taste it. I can't taste it. Excuse me. A Jew can't taste it because maybe it'll taste the treif and then he violated the issur. But if you get a goy, you know, you get a Shabbos goy, you know, you get a kashrus goy, you know. So then, in other words, you'll just get a goy. Is a goy better? Is a goy preferable? Is it like, you know, so what's the, so the Gemara here, inside his Hayin Amar Aleph, says, Rovin bar of Ada Omar Kilchis v'ilfis. Kilchis, Rashi says, Sheketz dogim ketanim. He has a small fish. An ilfis is a pot of meat. So some stray fish fell in the pot of meat. And obviously it's disintegrated. You can't see it. And it's like in a trollet. So it fell in, it disintegrated, you can't see anything. So Asu Shalul Rabbi Yochanan Vabluhu Tamik Fela Armar. So he said, get a non-Jewish chef to taste it. And that should be good. So it's interesting. He doesn't say, let's see if it's shishim. He says, get a guy. So is that a preferable thing? And if it's just, like if you don't have a guy, you know, like sometimes I tell people, you know, use a goy. If you don't have a goy, do a shinoy in certain situations. So maybe the same thing over here. If you have a goy, so get a goy. If not, then, because it makes sense that a goy should be a better barometer, right? Because he mamish could taste. Shishim is just a hashara, that if the shishim, most probably you can't taste. But if I can mamish get the real test, the real test is the test of taste. Sheesh, maybe certain things could be bottled by chamishim, right? So Amar Rav Meisha v'kachashin lihad etani k'dei shal bishal babasa oliva shal b'cholov in bishal b'nositam. You have a k'deira that you cook meat and you shouldn't cook milk in it. And if you did it b'nositam, truma oliva shal b'chulin. So, Bishma Truma taught him like Cohen. So by Truma you can get a Kohen, because a Kohen will be able to see if the Truma was, say, Truma of apples, or something like that. So you'll see if it tastes like apples. So you get a Kohen. Basar b'chol of man v'tom, right? So who's going to... And it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't say anything about doing shishim. Just no seitam. So normally we think no seitam gets mishay after shishim. So here he's saying no. Just get either a kohen if it's truma, and basar b'cholov. So who's going to be tasted? Samchina kfeil armoi. Kfeil means a chef. Armoi is a non-Jewish. Non-Jewish chef. Hachanami samchina kfeil armoi. So that's the yisod. So again, so the two questions that we have to raise is why do we need a, when do we do shishim and when do you do a goy? How do you, when do you use which one? And then why do you need a chef? Why don't you just get a regular goy? You need a chef? Get a regular goy to do it. Yeah, we'll see. So let's see Taisus. Samchina kfeila. Abel gav dovi kachovim hu. Kevin de kfeila hu lo mashaker. So lo yapsir umnoso. So he says like this, that a regular guy doesn't have nemonis. Right? A guy, you can't trust a guy for kashrus. Right? You can't trust a guy for kashrus. Question is whether you can trust, a non-from Jew for kashrus. because usually the Rosh Hashanah always quotes the Mishnah Bechoros, a chashud al adover donu v'lo me'ido. If you're chashud on something, we can't trust you about something. Because if you don't keep kosher, then I can't trust you that it's kosher. That's a very important shaila that comes up. You know, you have parents sometimes that they're not observant, and the kid is observant, and he wants to know, could he eat in his parents' home? Or could he can invite his friends over to eat in the parents' home? Because normally the concept is a chashud al adavar. If you chashud on something, meaning you're not reliable about something, then lo donu v'lo me'idu. Then you can't, you can't be the person to testify that this is good. Rav Nata Greenblatt told me that in his experience in out of town in Memphis and things like that, he's seen people over the years that are not Shomer Shabbos, but they keep a kosher home. Even inside the home, they keep kashrus, but don't keep Shabbos. So he thought those people you could rely on, because they're at least keep kashrus. So on this dover, there, one second, they're reliable. They're not a chashud on kashrus, there's a chashud on Shabbos. I don't know if everyone would agree with that, but that's what he thought. But he told me, Rav Nata Greenblatt, that if a person doesn't keep kosher, say they keep kosher home, but outside they eat treif, then they're chashud, even on kashrus, then you can't trust them. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva that if you know the person, their parents are... you trust your parents. Your parents will never lie to you. You know that. The case was the parents were communists. And the son knows, he's Kimli Begave. So that's another source of nemonis. If you know them, and you know they will lie to you, even if they're totally non-observant, even though they keep... They don't keep kashrus at all. That's another track of namonis. Kimli Begavei, that I know about this person. So then he was matir Ramusha to eat in the parents' home if he knows that they would never lie to him. He knows them and they would never lie to him, etc. So over here, Tosas is saying another idea, that if you have, you're a professional, when you're a professional, so a professional, we assume, has a chazaka that is not going to lie, because then he'll lose his reputation and no one will buy things from him. So if you're a professional, you have a concept of uman, a professional, lomara umnoso. He will not ruin his professional credibility. And he says that's the pshat over here, why we rely on the kvela, because of the concept of uman lomara umnose. And it's interesting, this idea of uman lomara umnose is quoted in various areas in halacha. Say, for example, Rav Moshe has a tshuva here on page 28. He says, the Inyan Nemonos HaFactories. Rav Moshe didn't use modern Hebrew. You see, the two people that... Two reasons not to use modern Hebrew. Rav Moshe didn't use modern Hebrew because that wasn't his thing. He didn't know modern Hebrew necessarily. Like he'll never use the word mechonit for a car. Well, machines. He'll call it a car a machine. And he'll spell it out. Mem al machine. Mem al shin yud nun. In the Hungarian world and the Sapan world and that, they won't use it because it's that's part of the Zionist, anti-Zionist, not to use modern Hebrew. So they won't use modern Hebrew either. Not just because that's, that has to do with Zionism and things like that. So they don't use modern Hebrew. So they'll use, they'll never use the word chashmal, like the Debrecina. They'll just use electric. You know, they'll spell it out. You know, Ayin Lamed, electric. And then the Israeli, even Rav Shlomo Zalman, so he used like Hashmal and things like that. He used the, modern Hebrew words. So Rav Moshe wants to know, Asher Yesh Lahamin Lamnale have factories, Bamesha Kosim, Shaosim Rak Mishuman Shanase, the vegetable. In other words, they want to claim that they only use vegetable oil on this track, on this machinery. It's not animal fat that could be traced. It's only vegetable oil. So he says, why are they believed? So that's one of the reasons. If they sign professionally that they're the factory and there's no animal oil that's used on this thing, so then they're believed because of that concept of uman lomara umnose. And this idea, well, is Rav Chaim Ozer here on page 31. Excuse me. Fascinating tshuva from Rav Chaim Ozer on page 31. Rav Chaim Ozer was the Poisek Hador in Vilna. So he tells a story, Aldas Haguna. There was a woman, she was the wife of Shmuel Meir Nelkin. Okay? Shmuel Meir Nelkin was her husband. Shabala Nasal Vneha Muhammad. So before the war, he went to Chutz Laretz. Ulochiv Moshe Nelkin Beloj, Nitzkalba Yedia, Yilishka Sarah Machaba Paris, Yom Esrim Chabisha Biyanuar, January 25th, Elaf Shah Meos Betesha Esrei, 1919. So they got a letter from Kishmuel Nelkin Nerab, Biad Oyev. They said the family got a letter that Shmuel Nelkin, this woman's husband, was killed on 16th of June, on 1919. So it doesn't say the word Shmuel Meir, it says Shmuel Nelkin. So the question is, and it was sent to his brother in Lodz. His brother got this letter from the official people, the Yedias Milishka Sar HaMelchama. Moshe Nelkin got this letter. So the question is there Nemanis? So the Chaim Lozer writes that, yeah, in other words, if you get a letter from the official people, so that's the same concept. Page 32, the second arrow. It's a full-blown chazaka. In other words, even though it's from Goyim, but they're giving you official documentation. Iker chazaka delomara nafshai chazaka kimura chazaka uman lomara umnose. So Rav Chaim Oizer writes here on page 33. Hineni maskim. There was the person, the Rav who sent the shaila to Rav Chaim Oizer, was asking for his, in our opinion, did he agree with the Psak? And he says, I agree with you. That Shmuel Meir Nelkin, the wife of Shmuel Meir Nelkin, could remarry based on the letter that the brother got from the Sar HaMelchama in Paris. This was an official letter from the Sar HaMelchama, whoever that is, in Paris, saying that he's dead. So he says that's good enough because of this same klal of Uman Lomar Unose. So Rav Moshe used it for the vegetable oil. And then Rav Chaim Oizer used it, this concept, for Heter Aguna. And then the Gadol Hador, Rav Yitzchok Elchanan. You know, I always complain that people can go here to the yeshiva for many years and never know any Torah from Rav Yitzchok Elchanan. So I always like to show you Divrei Torah from Rav Yitzchok Elchanan, because he was the Gadol Hador, Rav Yitzchok Elchanan. And you should know some things from Rav Yitzchok Elchanan. I always say the reason why don't yeshiva boys learn from Rav Yitzchok Elchanan? Because you see, you have these Rosh Yeshivas who are big people, like Rav Chaim Wasserman, great gedolim. But their Torah, the Torah was to high school, you know, to teenagers. You know, they were trying to teach teenagers basic lamdas and things like that. Rav Chaim Oizer, Rav Yitzchok Elchanan, they were speaking, their audience was the Gedolei HaRabbanim that existed. So they were the Gadol Hador. But there were, you know, other people who were big, you know, Gedolei Rabbanim, and that's who they were speaking to. So most people never stay in yeshiva long enough to reach this, you know, to be from the audience of Rav Yitzchok Elchanan and Chaim Oizer. He's speaking to, you know, Gedolei HaRabbanim. So, but it's still good that you should have some. So what would happen here? So Rav Yitzchok Elchanan has the following. Shalti, Bigun, on page 34. Bigun Echad Mikal Luna. Bailach Hayachola Mesukan. So the husband was a Chola Mesukan. And he went away. Freysen Mavakesh Ufoso. Where's Freysen? No?
Prussia. Germany.
Prussia.
East Germany.
So he went to East Germany for refuah, to go to a doctor there. And then 3 years later, he didn't. You know, it's not like today. You know, you have cell phones, you have email, you have everything. The person went away, you don't know where he was. And it's been 3 years. So she didn't hear from him for 3 years. So she figured she'll go look him, check him, go see where he is. So she went. And she went to the person in charge of the cemeteries and to ask about this fellow, her husband, Kalman Punto. He was this tailor. So he said, in other words, he was a tailor. So he said that he has written down in his records, Kalman Punkel Schneider. What's a Schneider?
Tailor.
A tailor. Kalman Punkel the Schneider, Mace Vinikbersham. And they had him, you know, in the cemetery. They had his records in the cemetery. 1866. But the question is, you know, it's not the Jewish people who are giving the Zaydis. So he says, so the same idea. And also there were mistakes in the identification. Because Bali Shaguna Yanikta Bir Zoom we call him the Siosal Frizen Kaka Path, Nisham Eslova Markiadu, Shamais Bible, Shall Isa Zoo. He had a letter that he died. There's some mistake in the name, but it's the same idea that that he writes here on page 35. Kein zeh kasafti b'sifri be'er Yitzchok. Yesh lanu hakei aguna al pima shenimtza b'ayla nukta b'sifri meisim shel tama memshola. That he was, they already recorded him that he's dead in these official documentation. And the one in charge had him listed down, the one in charge of the cemeteries. So it's the same thing. Uman no morom nasev. So we have uman no morom nasev. So it starts from our Tosfos. We got a treif, and it goes to the vegetable oil, to the agunas. That's a very important yisod in Nemonis. Well, it's a klal. Oh, here, right here in Tosfos. It's a klal throughout everything. It's not only kashrus. It's in all areas of halacha. And you know where it appears in Shulchan Aruch a lot? In Hilchas Tzitzis, believe it or not. Hilchas Tzitzis. Take a look in the Gemara Menachos on page 23. Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanu Lokech Talis Mitzuyesis Min Hashuk. If you buy a garment that has tzitzis from the shuk, Mishrael, so if you buy from a Jew, Harehi Becheskasa. So it has a Cheskas Kashus. But Min Ha'ol Bekachavim, but if you buy from a guy, so it depends. Min HaTagar, if he's a professional salesman, so then Wa'ak Sheirim. Min HaHedyot, but just Stam a guy, you see a guy on the street, and he says, oh, I have tzitzis for you. And I'm going to sell you tzitzis, you can't believe him. But if he's a professional, so Rashi says, Min Ha'ol Bekachavim, Tagar Hu Sheirim. The Lomar Nafshev is Zovin Lebi Yisrael Hukshair. Most probably he bought it from a Jew, and now he's selling it in his store. He has an all-purpose store. So that is the first concept here. However, if you look in the Rashba, so that's how Tosis explains why you need not just a regular guy. You need what? You need a what? A fela, a professional. So now let's look in the Rashba of the Torah Sabayis on page 8. Be'ezek kfeila omru, be'kfeila boki b'ta'amim harbe. Afilu b'tambu ha'chein ro b'nei adam argishim bo, or afilu b'stam b'nei adam. So now there's another question. Maybe there's another reason why you need a kfeila, and not just stam a goy. Because a kfeila is what? Is a professional, not because of the nemonos of lomar u'nosei. But he has a professional taste bud. You know, in other words, so the hedyot, regular people, we don't know anything. We don't know how to taste things. It's a whole science, how to taste things. You know, if you're a real professional chef. So a professional chef, he knows how to taste things. And he knows if there's really tam cholov there or not. So maybe the reason why you can't go to a regular goy is because he's not enough of a bucky to know whether it's a real taste. So be'ezek kfeila omru be'kfeila bucky b'tamim harbe. So which one do you need? Do you need one? Do you need the level of a goy that is a connoisseur, that he knows? That's what the And that's what the Ritva writes here on page 10. So Peter Kfela, Perish, Al Nachtom Eino Yehudi Shu Boki Betamim. In other words, we want his expertise. That could be another reason why. Dafka Kfela. But now let's go back to the Rashba. The Heliger Rashba. On page 8. Basic fail omru but fail a bucky bitam harbe. A few bitamua chain rob bene odom or gishimbo. A few stam bene odom. Establish a few shar bene odom sheenem umnim. So he says that even, in other words, we don't need, he disagrees. He says we don't need the type of guy that's a connoisseur. That's a bucky baton. We don't need such a guy. Even if you're a regular pashadi guy, that you don't have such expertise. But regular people can tell milk from meat. If you're a specialist, you'll be able to even, you know. He says, "Mustabra fil sharbene adam sheenam umnim v'teidel chamidamirim per gedanasha amarav meishav kashli Atani Kadesha Bishop Bavatsal Vashab Cholov, and Bishop Beno Saint Tam, Bishop Batrumal Vishab Chulan, Bishop Beno Saint Tam. From Rina and Truma, time La Kohen, right? If you have a suffix, if this Truma fell in to the other, so you get a Kohen. And the Bosom Cholov on time, right? Omar Samfinan, Akfeil Arma. Alman Kamer, time La Kohen. So it's interesting, the Gemara says you need to get a Kohen, but it doesn't say a Kohen Kfeila. So if you really needed a what? An expert, then what? Then it should say Kohen Kfeila. But it doesn't say Kohen Kfeila. So the answer is that any Kohen is good. So if any Kohen is good, then any Goy is good also. So why do you need because you don't need that special expertise. So what do you need the kfeila for? That's only maybe because of what? Well, of Uman Lomaro Mnase. But basically he says, time lo Kohen, lo time lo Kohen Kfeila, mashmid lo boi Kfeila, klau. Al kol tam she'enu nirgash l'chol ha-toamim, enu tam, ve'en choshen lo. In other words, when we say no sin tam, you know, it's like, I'll tell you, Leo Levy, Professor Leo Levy, he lived here in the neighborhood. I'm sure my name is Rav Hess, probably, he probably lived there in Rav Hess.
He gave a shiurim on Hashkafa every Friday night in the park for young people.
On what? Hashkafa? Yeah.
He was a
Professor Leo Levy, he started Machon Lev. And he lived here in the Heights. He wrote a sefer on Seis HaKachovim, Beit HaShmoshos, right? So he wrote a sefer on Seis HaKachovim. And then Rav Henkin writes him the Haskama. He says it's a nice sefer, but you know, the Torah wasn't given to scientists. The Torah was given to the regular people. So, you know, regular people could see the star. You know, it doesn't work with the Torah is given, whoever could, you know, like the Chavit Rabbi Peretzky Zatzal, the Bochi the Yeshiva used to say when he was by the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim would tell the Shabbos, he didn't have the calendars that we have here, you know, the calendars when Shabbos begins. The Chavetz Chaim would say, go outside, see if the stars are there. And then the Chavetz Chaim, if he gave the Chavetz Chaim would speak between Mechamarim and his house. Rabbi Peretzky would tell me, he'd say, go out and see the stars. But if the Chavetz Chaim knew he spoke long, then he would say, you don't have to go out, the stars are there. But it wasn't a scientific, the world today became scientific. But that doesn't mean that halacha should, you know, halacha has halachic, you know, parameters. One second. So therefore, he says that the definition, whenever you have a definition of tam, it's what is the regular yid on the street can taste, the regular guy on the street. You don't go based on, you don't. So he's saying there was that pshat that the Ritva has, and that he's discussed in the beginning, that maybe you need tam, the kfeilot, because he can really, he's the connoisseur of tam. You don't need a connoisseur. The Torah was given where? To the regular balabas. And if the regular balabas can't taste it, then it's not there.
So how do you handle the pshat that's given in this generation?
So the same thing in the Torah Vadas Torah Journal, I think one of Rabbi Belsky's Talmidim, Rabbi Perlman, I think wrote an article where he said it could be the same thing by the bugs, in that if a regular person can't see the bugs, so even though an expert could, it could be that's considered Einanira. He bases it on this Rashba, that the Torah was given to the regular person. So Harav Hess is asking, what about today? They checked fill in, you know, with a computer. They checked fill with a computer. So that's different. Because there, the word is, it's just people sometimes make mistakes. But you could see it. A regular person could see it. It's just, you're working so hard, you make a mistake. So today, so therefore, so to avoid that, but if something really is not near le'inayim, you know, it's not noticeable by a regular person, then maybe you don't have to see what could the copepod expert of the generation could see. But a computer, it's there. You can see it. There's a mistake. It says a ches, it should be a shech, it's there. So therefore you get a computer, this way the human error will be rectified. And that's the story.
Really?
Yes.
You say that in the time Rabbi Yochanan, why they did not need an expert taster as for truma, is maybe the truma at that time was already in the Rabbanan and not in the Raisa?
Yeah, but still, you should get so is the Rabbanan is also So that's what he says here. He says that so the Rashba negates that idea that you need an expert for that reason. See, the reason why you need a kfeila, like Tosa says, is not because kfeila has an extra expertise. It's because he has a more nemanis plus uman lomara umnasing, because he's going to lose his stabgoy could lie. So he lies. Do him something. He lies. But another person who works in a profession, if the person lies, no one's going to buy by you. So he's going to lose parnasa. So that chazaka, and that's why you need it. And that's the...
That doesn't answer the question why you cannot use a non-professional like you said, by a coin who's not a fail. Why is that any different?
Right, so why is it... So the answer is you don't need... Right, so why is a Kohen... because the answer is a Kohen's a Yid. And a Yid has no manus.
Right, right.
If he's a firm Kohen,
yeah, right.
He has no manus.
Right.
But if he's a guy, he doesn't have no manus.
Right.
So that's the...
Can I just ask a question, like going back to something you said before about crushing on somebody? Like let's say you meet somebody, you know stuff about them, but let's say they're not mocked on or something like that, or some parts would not come
off. Right. So that's what I said. Not the Greenblatt told me he thought that from his experience in life that in certain places, Mechalei Shabbos were Mechalei Shabbos, but on Kashrus they're Machmir. So he thought those people you could, I'm not saying everyone agrees to that, but. He thought that they still have an amonis legabe kashrus. So that's the question what you're referring to, but they're not that's if you live out of town, you see that. In town, if people are not Shomer Shabbos and driving on Shabbos, the kashrus is usually not, but it's a different type of mentality that some people have in certain out-of-town places. If you're a New Yorker, you can't relate to that as well. You're from, you're not from.
You have that to a lot. People who keep kashrus, but they'll drive kashrus.
I'm not telling you that this, this could be maybe relied on in certain situations. In general, you should be eating by people who are Shom Shabbos and keeping, you know. But he once told me such a svara. Or not to be like, okay.
So what
Rav
Tosis?
Yeah. So the Rav was like Tosis. Okay, so that's the first thing that we did today. I'm giving a bechina today, so I'll leave soon. Okay, so let's stop here. This is one unit of the packet. And then we still have to do other units of the packet. Again, we still didn't discuss, so when do you use a kfeila and when do you use shishim? That's another part we have to discuss. How do the two come together? Okay, and could you ever have rely on a guy that's not a kfeila? So that's another discussion. Okay, so Bezeshah on Wednesday, see you at the Shmaya, we should continue.